Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. First, Michael, I want to check to just make sure you can hear me okay.
Yes, I can hear you great. Thank
you.
Okay.
It was very difficult for me to hear the introduction music, so I don't know if that was on my end or just wanted to make sure we weren't having a technical difficulty because we're going to need it. This Good News Update.
Yes, we will.
We are going to be hearing from Ashwini, who is going to be telling us about some exciting themes coming up for practice for 2013. And she wasn't able to be with us live this afternoon, so we pre-recorded an interview with her. And a couple of things about that. One, the recorder didn't pick up just the very beginning of the interview with Ashwini, so I've essentially given you the context of what we said in the very beginning of it, so that she's going to be telling us about the practice themes coming up for 2013. So it will sort of pick up mid-sentence, but you've got all the background that you need for that. And then, Michael, I thought maybe just briefly at the end of the recording, you're going to play that for us in just a minute, if you wouldn't mind coming back on and let me know if from your end there was anything, there were some places where Ashwini's signal was not perfect, and so I think you can't hear her, all the detail of what she's saying, but I think I reflected most of it back. But if you would come back on at the end of it and just say if there was anything you weren't clear about or you couldn't hear, then I can be sure to fill in any gaps we need.
Okay.
All right?
Great.
All right.
Great.
I think we're
okay.
Ready to roll.
Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Practice year.
So the focus of 2012 was deepening practice, and the focus for 2013 is the cooperative of practice being lit up together.
Uh-huh. So I want to start by asking why what had you really looking at, why do we want to carry another theme through 2013? What kind of prompted that? I mean, it can be an obvious question, I think, but I think really fun to speak to it directly and some of the transformation that happened in this last year.
Well, it was very powerful, I project, for everyone to have a specific focus. We were all talking about it, and there was such a level of energy and participation that having that focus generated. And so it just, as we were looking at whether we wanted to do something like that next year, it was really obvious. For example, the 300 for 1,000 radio show, and just such a deep commitment to by the Sangha to deepen practice.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just an interesting way for us all to come together, to practice together, to inform all of our conversations, to inform what we were looking at together, that it just made such sense to create a program, not with anything overt in mind other than actually what the practice team reflects, which is, what does it mean to practice together as Sangha?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so true that, I mean, we've always known the power of Sangha, right? I mean, in practice, it's very obvious, but there was something about really having a shared theme, a shared focus, and coming together on a regular basis to check in about that and see what each of us is seeing, that had sort of this, I just got the image of a leapfrog effect, that, you know, someone sees this, and then, yes, we all see that, and then the next person sees the next step, and then we all get to draft off that, and so on. And so really seeing, what is so this was the year of deepening practice, what's the thing that's going to take us even deeper into this next year? What would be the theme for that?
Right, and I think it's like a common language, right? So we're all looking at it, each of us being informed by life and in wherever we are in practice, but that we get to talk about it in a way that is a shared experience. And I think that's what it is, right? That we support each other, we support this practice, but there's a shared experience of practicing together that we have a common language about.
Exactly, and then the structure of ways to support each other in really keeping that commitment going, because of course, you know, I mean, this happens for people all the time around January 1st, that sense of rush and exhilaration of, yes, you know, I'm going to commit to whatever it is. And then by February 1st, we can't even remember what that commitment was. And so setting up the structures that really continue that commitment throughout.
Right. So it's both, you know, there's a focus to it. there's a structure to it, and that just holds the integrity of the commitment throughout the year.
Yeah. So in a bit, I want to ask you about some of that structure in particular, but I wonder if you could say a little bit about the focus itself. So the being the cooperative of practice being lit up together, kind of how that came to be.
Well, because that's what this book is. I mean, when you look at the theme of practicing together as a community that supports each other, it's so emblematic of a cooperative because that's what a cooperative is. Everybody has a sense what they bring to the cooperative, and then everyone shares in what the cooperative, the benefits of the cooperative, mm-hmm. right? So in one sense, the Sangha is a cooperative model, and the whole theme of deepening practice was around being lit up. It was to move away from, you know, that serious focus that ego has and really, really come to what's lighting me up about life. And so if that helped me deepen my practice in 2012, what I'm carrying on to 2013 is that same sense of joy of being lit up, doing something I love, of being with life, but doing it together in the sense of community that the Sangha of a cooperative symbolizes.
Hmm. It really is a logical movement, isn't it? So mm-hmm. having spent this last year of each of us kind of looking inside at, well, what lights me up, and practicing living from that place, and kind of now having that under our belt and really knowing that experience, moving forward to how does that translate to all of us coming together and being the cooperative of practice to keep practice going, to move practice forward, etc.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's an interesting piece of that, which I think will be a large focus of what we explore, at least in the first part of the program, is what that symbolizes in both Sangha and the cooperative is a sense of belonging.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be something that we all ache for, you know,
mm-hmm.
that sense of being part of something, of belonging to something, a family or, you know, relationship or however we might be conditioned to think about it.
Yeah.
And an ego is separation.
Yeah.
From life, it's separate from the reality. Different from what is, and basically that conditioning does, it divides us into an isolated world where we feel separation, and we don't feel that sense of belonging,
yeah.
and we're driven by a conditioned way of seeking that sense of fulfillment. And so, you know, to have a Sangha, a community, a cooperative together where we explore a sense of belonging that does not have an egotistic perspective to it, that's what the focus is about. So how do I get back in relationship to life, to myself, or to my the authenticity that is this form? And so what does belonging mean from that context?
Mm.
It's taken out of the realm of conditioning. How do we get back that sense of wholeness, of oneness, of non-deprivation, of non-separation?
Well, we could spend the entire hour on this theme because that is really, I mean, that's an exciting wide open invitation for people to.
And that's what we are going to spend the whole year talking about.
Yeah.
That's good.
That is good. That's good. There's plenty to say. And before we run out of time, you know, we have a few more minutes. I want to ask you, how does the theme of learning to love learning fit into it?
Well, I think it's a tool because I think we've had this conversation before, right, Jen? Because it says it, I know.
Ashwini, let me just interrupt you quickly. It's a bit hard. You're breaking up a little bit.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Could you want me to?
Yeah, maybe you could just say that. I didn't hear you well enough to reflect, unfortunately. Maybe you could just say that last sentence or something like it.
Well, you know, the conditioning is a static view of life, right? It's based on beliefs mm-hmm. and assumptions, and it basically is an expert position. It knows.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't really, and there is no encouragement to learn how to learn.
Yes.
That joy of learning, of curiosity, of openness, of not knowing
mm-hmm.
has been conditioned out of most of us. And
yeah.
so it's such an important tool because what we're being invited to do in practice is to be in a different way with life.
Yeah.
A new way of being, and that new way of being requires
Uh-huh.
Which is exactly the opposite position of what Edith suggests we have to be all the time. And so to use that as a practice to mm-hmm. explore a sense of belonging, mm-hmm. to explore a sense of being in a different way, mm-hmm. that's how that came into the whole focus for the next year.
Boy, it really is perfect. So there's the focus of being the cooperative of practice, of essentially learning a new way of belonging, taking belonging away from the dualistic way that conditioning wants us to look at it. And first of all, learning, if you will, how to be in not knowing, because in not knowing is the joy of everything that is, and the spirit of inquiry, and just all the themes we've been exploring this year. And so having that be a particular tool that we're going to, in a sense, learn together to apply in this theme of being the cooperative of practice.
Right, and if you look at it in the broad sense, what conditioned mind would say is we don't belong to our bodies. It mm-hmm. has taken over the mind. It's taken over the spirit. There's so much separation in all of those ways, right? So how can we learn to be fit? How can we learn to nourish our bodies? How mm-hmm. can we learn to take care of our hearts?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you could use learning to love learning in so many ways to come back to that sense of oneness, belonging with life.
Yeah. Oh, boy, it's so true. And we do have another minute or two, so I want to give you a chance to say, in terms of the structures of how it might go, what are we talking about?
Well, we're going to launch again with our video workshop in the beginning of the year, January 20th, so mark that calendar. It will be a video workshop. It's free. We'll share it, and we'll look at this theme of what does it mean to be Sangha, what does it mean to belong, and really, you know, that sense of transformation that comes with practice has to this place of such immense grace. But to support the practice, that supports us for everyone else to have the same experience that we have, right? So we're deepening our sense of stewardship as well and what that means. And so we start off with that video workshop. There's an email once again, and this time around, instead of just doing a plan, we're actually going to do a quarter, because conditioning is as the year progresses. And so there's a year-long retreat that consists of an email class, multiple workshops, and a radio show that people can decide to be part of post the video workshop that will support this exploration of participating together as a Sangha.
Great. Let me reflect that back, because there were points where you were breaking up just a little bit, and see if we've got it. So on January 20th, we're launching with another video workshop, just like we did last year, that will be streamed live, you know, wherever people are in the world, so they can join us for that. And the theme of that will be, I think you said, exploring this theme of being the cooperative of practice, being lit up together.
Mm-hmm.
That will be followed by an email class, again, much like last year, where we'll continue through the themes, and I imagine in the video workshop some more of the particular elements will be offered to us, and the email class will take us through that process.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're not just making a plan, but we're also going to be invited into kind of a year-long retreat, if you will, where each quarter we're going to come back together and really re-up the commitment and look at specific themes and that sort of thing, because so often conditioning, as we talked about, does talk us out of continuing with our commitments. So we've got some structures in place for that. And then we'll be continuing with the weekly radio show, the Thursday night radio show, assuming we stay with that format, but in some way doing a weekly radio show check-in where people will have a chance to call in and talk about what they're seeing.
Right, and it's focused on learning to love learning and how is that happening through the cooperative practice. And there's an element here of any stewardship. And so, you know, we'll explore all of those dimensions.
Mm. Wow, really, really a ton to look forward to, huh?
It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
We're all going to be so lit up.
I already am. Well, thank you, Ashwini, so much for being with us this afternoon, and tons more to look forward to and to talk about. We have an entire year to explore it.
Yeah, and I think registration is actually opening for the video workshop, so people can actually go sign up.
Excellent. Very good. And I imagine just go to the website and look at the retreats and workshop schedule page.
That's right.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you so much, Ashwini.
Thanks, Jen.
Okay. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll pass it over to you and Sherry.
So,
Jenna,
Michael, that was a commercial for listening to the archives.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Good.
I sincerely hope that there's also something happening with my phone line because we have had so much rain. But I could almost understand nothing of that interview, and my deepest apologies to people for putting them through that. But I didn't want to interrupt it because it will, I know from experience from having done these interviews from Zambia, that when you put it directly onto the archive file, it will be crystal clear. I mean, not crystal clear, because Ashwini was breaking up here and there, but I think you'll be able to hear me perfectly, and I'm reflecting what Ashwini says. So please go back to the archive because she really brilliantly laid it out for us, and I think it's a really inspiring interview.
Yes, it was really inspiring. Yeah. And you are correct. I'll put the original quality into the archives, and people will be able to hear that really well.
Okay. Good. Well, good. I have a couple other little announcements, but they can wait for next week because I want to have you and Sherry move on and start the show.
Okay, good.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Okay.
Okay. Good night.
Bye. Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Michael?
Hi. Are you there?
Yes, I am here. Can you not hear me either?
I missed the first syllable, but you came in loud and clear right now.
Oh, good. Actually, you're not that clear for me, but it has to be better than that view. So we'll just hope it's okay, huh?
Okay, great. I'll speak as clearly as I can.
Well, no, it's not you. It's that same kind of broken up sound, kind of a strobing sound. What you're saying, almost a little bit of an underwater effect to it. So it could just be a holdover from that last. We can move forward. Maybe people can let us know if we're unclear. Sound quality, not intellectually or spiritually. We can't help that.
Right. Great. I have some announcements here.
Okay.
Mark your calendars, as Ashwini said, for a free live video workshop with you, Sherry, on Sunday, January 20th, entitled The Cooperative of Practice, Being Lit Up Together.
Yes.
And we'll be looking at Sangha and how we all own it. We all share in it. We're all responsible for it. We all benefit from it. And we all belong to it. And everyone is invited to be a part of this. And you can register or read more at the Living Compassion homepage. That's www.livingcompassion.org. And there's a workshop in Palo Alto, California, that's coming up this Saturday, December 8th, entitled The Gift of Your Presence, a day of inspiring exercises and guided imagery designed to remind us of what we want for ourselves and our lives. Registration closes this Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific time. We also have some at-home practice opportunities coming up soon. There's a guidance day for monthly donors on December 15th. Look at anything about your practice one-on-one with an experienced practitioner via phone or Skype. Reflective Listening Buddies, a new quarter begins January 15th. This is an opportunity to connect with another participant weekly for a practice support call. It includes training and support conference calls. And folks can visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to read more or sign up for any of these events. A couple of reminders. I'd like to remind people to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. So let's get started, Sherry.
All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? First caller, are you there?
I'm pretty sure Mercury is not retrograde currently. But it'd be hard to prove it by us, wouldn't it?
Yes. All right, let's try the next first caller. You are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Emily.
Hey, Emily.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And yourself?
I'm okay. I'm all right.
Good. What's going on?
Well, let's see. So I called for the first time a few weeks ago, and since then I've been completely getting battered and really having a really hard time doing any practice.
Mm-hmm. And those two things are related? Because you called in, you're being brutalized?
Well, it started with that, yeah. I mean, I was kind of beat up for a few days right after about the call and what I said. And
you sounded
and
stupid
I was,
and like an idiot and everything you said was wrong and you should pretty much get duct tape and never utter another word for as long as you live, things like that.
Yeah. And I was seeing it and not really believing it. And then somehow, I don't know, somehow then I went on vacation and then I just kind of stopped practicing. It seemed that the events all went together.
in some mysterious way, those all went together.
Yeah, right.
You do know that the reason that I can kid you about this stuff is that you're not alone in this, right?
Well, yeah, that's what I was hoping to hear.
Yeah. Practically, I mean, there are old-timers who call into the show, and they've been doing it for so long that being brutalized afterwards is in their past. But I don't know of anybody who hasn't had that experience. Okay? And for most people, it lasts a good long while. I mean, people will be years and years into practice, and still they'll say, you know, they hear Michael say, will you please introduce yourself, and their heart stops beating, and then, you know, they go slightly unconscious, and, you know, people are terrified to listen to the archives for fear their call is going to be on the archive, and then it'll just prove that they do, in fact, sound like an idiot, and they can't, you know, so,
yeah. Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet.
Oh, yeah. In fact, there was one evening where I really enjoyed it, and I think the other person did too, where I talked somebody through how to listen to the show where she had called in, because the voices were just killing her. You know, and so it had to do with this whole, you know, self-mentoring thing and what you do and how, you know, you, and then you listen to a little and then you go back and you know, because, it's really hard. Really hard.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah.
And it's not,
yeah,
of course. And everybody who goes back and listens goes, well, I sounded fine. You know, I didn't say anything I shouldn't say. They were complete sentences. It was fine. Which is always the case.
It's, I think getting like the effect of that is now that I'm over the last maybe 2 days starting to do some practice stuff again, but it's really I feel like taking me back a ways in kind of habits I had gotten into and practices.
Now, once again, you do know that you're doing practice the way practice is done, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong or unusual about what's happening to you. It's what everybody runs into. And, you know, when I hear you talk about it or hear anybody talk about it, I'm just struck by the insanity of it. You know, what practice is helping us to wake up and to be more alive, to enjoy our lives more, to be more present. You know, there's nothing bad in it. There's not a single negative
in awareness practice. And karmic conditioning goes after us as if we were contemplating a new career as a serial killer.
Isn't that true? I mean, I'm definitely hearing, now you have to start over, and oh, I don't want to, and that kind of, those messages, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Now you're going to have to pay attention all over again.
Right.
Now you're going to have to start being aware. Oh, God. No.
Yeah.
It's insane. It really is. And nobody's alone in it. It's an insane system that we have somehow found ourselves born into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
I feel like I've. Oh, go ahead.
No, go. You go ahead. I'll remember.
I was just gonna say. I think I remember this place before having stopped and started, and the kind of getting sucked into a depression, which was going to happen this week, and I unsucked myself from it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's impressive. You did record about that, right?
No, I lost my recorder on vacation.
Uh-huh. Vacation was a big one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you just might go ahead and give yourself the gift of another one. Because that kind of thing is really, really helpful to record about.
Okay. The experience of what that
was,
how I did that. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, the whole thing. You know, what the voices say and what they talk you into and how they make you feel and all of that. And then here comes the depression, and how did you not go into a depression? What did you focus on? So it's getting clear and listening constantly to, this is how they trip me up. This is what I'm going to do instead. This is what worked. This is what I want to keep doing. Oh, there's another one that they tripped me up over. Okay, got to watch out for that one. And what I want to do instead is, because that's the, that is practice. That's what we're doing. And, of course, the karmic conditioning talks people into believing that we should just one day say here inside our heads, I think I'd like to meditate. And then it's just clear sailing. You know, we're just, a few weeks later, completely conscious, aware, present, blissfully happy. And if it doesn't go that way, then it's wrong. But what we're trying to do is wake up out of lifetimes of this stuff. And it has been, this survival system has been there for way longer than we can remember. It's old, it's deep, it's thick, and we are learning to pick our way through the equivalent of a field of landmines. And the landmines are designed to throw us back into a state of unconsciousness and suffering. Every time we, take a step toward freedom, we get hit by something else. Recording and listening is our best friend, because we can actually have a chance of not so much remembering what's happened to us, but hearing it enough that we begin to recognize it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You see what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like decoding a series of messages, or where you're a detective trying to solve this crime, or you've got all these clues and it looks like this, but it doesn't seem to be that, and we're just systematically working our way through it. So, okay, yep, I recognize that one. Yep, given enough time, I'll fall for that. Mm-hmm. yep, if I listen to that long enough, I will be depressed, sure enough. Okay, so
okay.
These are the things I'm avoiding. These are the things I'm doing. This is where I want my attention. And constant reminders that, this is practice.
This is practice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's big. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anything that we want to do, as you know, anything we want to do that's new and different and we want to get good at is going to take practice. And whatever
mm-hmm.
it is that we take up, we're going to not do it to the standard way more often than we're going to do it to the standard for a really long time. And if we could have heard what Ashwini was talking about, of course, that's what she was talking about, that's what this coming year is going to be focused on, is the learning to love learning. Because the thing that we're all trying to learn to love is practicing. So, you know, I'm actually going to take up the piano, but if it were, say, the violin, you know, I just have to get used to a lot of really unpleasant sounds on the way to anything that's going to resemble music. And that's just how it is. And if I want to play that violin, that's what I need to do. So if I learn to love that whole process of getting from squawk to song, then I'm going to be happy all the way through. But if I think I'm only going to be happy when I can stand up there and play some complicated piece of music beautifully, perfectly, that's when I'm going to start being happy. I'm going to be unhappy for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So same thing, you know, getting past these voices, getting past this karmic conditioning, freeing ourselves from suffering. It's actually way more complex than taking up the violin as an adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Yeah.
So we got to love learning about it. We got to love the steps. We just have to. We have to approach it as, you know, this is the thing that's going to free me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. That's really helpful.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Now, don't be afraid to listen to this, because you didn't say one single stupid thing. And I'm so used to saying stupid things that it doesn't bother me anymore. So right on and listen to that show, okay?
All right, perfect.
All right, thanks, Emily.
All right, thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Emily. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Hi, this is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right, thanks.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there? Okay, moving right along. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Jodine in San Francisco.
Hey, Jodine.
Can you hear me?
Yay! Can you hear us?
I can hear you, and I was imagining all these callers, like, you know, whatever, not, you know, I'm here, and we can't hear them.
Voices in
I don't know.
In
maybe
the wilderness.
Maybe they just got scared and hung up.
Maybe. Who can say? Mm.
What's going on in your world?
Well, I had some homework from you last time I called, and I'm kind of not really, haven't done my homework, so I wanted to bring up something from the precessor tree, but I didn't forget my homework at all. The homework was to watch how I go from being perfectly happy, centered person, basically in the light room at work, to being abjectly miserable, and see if I can like see all the pieces of that. So I'm working on that. That's kind of a big one.
Good. And can you give us any hints? Can you tell us about anything you've seen, or are we just moving on to the next subject?
Well, I have definitely seen that a story starts, and if I'm paying close enough attention to hear the start of it, or whatever, just to like wake up before it gets to the punch, I actually can say like, if I listen to that, I'm not going to like where that's going. You know, so I absolutely know that it's stories, which is actually related to the other thing. So the other thing was what I have been thinking about since the precepts retreat, and I ended up writing this on a giant post-it note. So I found out that you can get 2-foot by 2-foot square post-it notes.
Isn't that good to know? Isn't that a fun practice tool?
Uh-huh. I've got 2 of them right, you know, on my way to meditation in the morning, like the 1-2. But the first one I wrote was these 3 things that you said you wished everybody would always remember or always keep in mind about practice. And it has been so helpful to me to just read that a couple times every day. That's what I put on my first giant post-it. And if I remember rightly, or, you know, forgive me if I minced your words, but the first thing is you are not conditioning. Mm. The second thing is conditioning is trying really hard to ruin your life. And the third thing is that you can be happy if you're 100% present all the time. Did I get this right?
I could see all of those. Yes. Uh huh. I mean, for a lot of people, of course, you could be happy if you were 100% present all the time. That could feel daunting rather than encouraging. But I know where you're going with this. So, mm-hmm.
Well, I've just been, especially the first two I'm working on the third one, but that's a work in progress.
Yeah, well, and
I have to say the first two, I mean, the first two are just a revolution in my life, in everything, through practice.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to say something about this, because I was just in a conversation about this saying number two. You know, the notion that conditioning is working hard to ruin your life, or however we want to say that. And the person was saying, you know, it sounds like you're saying that this is an actual force that is intentionally attempting to do something. And I'm actually not saying that. Although I'm not certain I wouldn't, but just, you know, for the sake of conversation, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it feels like. That's what it seems like. So if we go back to the previous caller, you know, somebody calls in to the show and wants to talk about practice and is beaten nearly to death because of that. It's hard to make that conditioned reaction innocent. You know what I mean? Because if Emily says, you know, I don't, that's not helpful to me. I don't, hearing those messages is not helpful to me. It doesn't matter. It's like putting out a fire with gasoline, right? Or if I say, you know, really, those voices are—they're not appropriate. They're not on track. They're not informed. They're not—you know—it's just a habit. It's not necessary. And what the response, the reaction to that is just a tsunami of resistance. So, even though we like to believe that this is some sort of neutral something, you know, this is, all right, we call it karmic conditioning. It's conditioning. You know, you've been putting these ideas together since you were a child, and now you're conditioned to look at the world in a certain way. But that doesn't actually explain what it feels like. Because if I'm in charge of all of this, I should be able to stop it when I want to. And I know I can't. That's one piece of it. The other piece of it is, when I pay close attention, I realize that in the conversation with the voices in my head, I'm the listener and another voice is talking, and I can't affect that voice.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I have the way this thing feels is that it's trying to kill me at times, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and,
not all the time.
And I think that one of the things that practice, you know, helps me to is just this notion that on some level that's going on for everybody, because I thought I was crazy.
Yes, yeah, yep, we all do. Not think you're crazy. We all think we're crazy. I mean, that's a huge part of it, right? It's me. It's just me.
Yeah.
Everybody else looks all right. They're not talking about this stuff, and so I don't get any evidence that everybody else is going through the same thing. That's just not out there.
Yeah,
because even if we suspect it, we're trained to deny it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, and I do see these things as kind of a progression, because when in my life before practice, I lived identified with conditioning so much that I didn't see any gap. You know, I didn't see it. I just thought that's me, you know. Mm-hmm. These are my thoughts, this is how I feel, this is how I see the world, you know, all of that. And I might have, like, little tiny breaks from it, you know, every now and then. But the notion that, you know, that it is it and it's not me, has, like I said, that's like revolution number one for me, you know, in practice. And I have to say that I still feel like I'm, you know, every day I'm in this struggle. I don't feel like I have some measure of freedom from it, much, much more than years ago. But I'm there with it every single day, you know, still waking up. I'm the one with the body. I'm going to meditate now. I'm going to work out now. And just for whatever reason, that notion, just keeping it in front of my awareness, that what it's doing is trying to ruin everything, has been real helpful for me lately.
Well, I hope it's helpful for a lot of people, Jodine, because it really is right on target to have that kind of information in front of us about this is who I am, this is what I'm committed to, this is what I stand for, and that's what's going to make my decisions. I'm not, you know, this is a stretch for a lot of people, but I'm not concerned about how I feel. It doesn't matter how I feel. So a voice saying, I don't feel like it, is not going to affect me, because it doesn't matter if I don't feel like it. That's, to me, that's the movement in practice that most effectively removes our lives from the grip of conditioning. As long as we are primarily focused on how I feel, then if I don't want to, I don't feel like it, it's too hard, I don't, then I'm pretty much in a struggle that is probably not going to go well for me. But when I realize that what I'm doing is making a choice about where my attention is and what I want to be focused on, I really increase my chances of having the life that I choose.
Yeah, and every little choice in my experience builds on the next, because the choices that I want to make are the ones that help me feel good about myself and help me feel good in my body and et cetera. And then, you know, so once I've done that first thing in the day, say, like started the day the way I want to, then, the day goes a lot more smoothly somehow from then on, you know.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That is very helpful. And you're going to keep working on your homework.
I am.
And continue to report back on that as well.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Jodine. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jodine. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're going to break for an important message, and then we'll be back.
Hey.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta from Washington State.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is David calling from Hawaii.
This is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
Rebecca from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Anna here from Yorkshire in England.
It's Ramita calling from South Carolina.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Todd calling from Canada.
2012 marks 10 years that Sherry and Michael have been doing Open Air. They have fielded thousands of your calls and archived hundreds of shows. In this year of deepening practice, we invite you to give a donation to support Open Air. Go to the Living Compassion website, click on the Donations tab, and make a donation of any size to the Zen Center, writing Open Air in the notes field. Step forward to be part of expanding the transformation. Lend your support today.
We're very lucky people.
We are very lucky people.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Good night.
Good night. Welcome back to Open Air.
Oh, Michael.
Yes.
I could barely understand that. Do you know, is something going on? Is it me?
I don't know.
Could you hear it?
Well, I'm sitting right next to it, so.
So, yes, you could. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I have a new iPhone, which I thought would be an improvement, and maybe a little research is necessary here.
Yeah, because, gosh, the sound quality for me is rugged, but as long as everybody else can hear it, I can be happy.
Okay, great. And we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Beth.
Hey, Beth.
Wasn't sure you could hear me.
Say what?
I wasn't sure you could hear me.
Well, apparently I can't.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it must be me. So it's one of those where if everybody else is having one experience and I'm having a different one, I can only conclude after a while it must be me. So maybe we just we'll speak up and talk slowly and hope I can get through it. How about that? How are you?
I have no answer to that. but kind of like respecting the 5 minutes and so forth, the thing that I've been kind of looking at recently is the privileged environment.
Uh-huh.
And how to practice it when nobody knows I'm practicing it.
Uh-huh. Let me ask you this. Did you do the workshop on Saturday?
My life is changing in ways, and my life is changing, the world is changing. And my finances have just never settled down, which affects my technology.
Okay.
But anyway, so no.
So no, is the short answer?
Yes.
You know what, I'm really sorry, Beth, but I actually cannot hear you. I mean, I can't understand what you're saying. Michael, I don't know what to do.
We could try speaking a little more. Beth, if you could speak more slowly, do you want to try that?
I will speak slowly and loudly.
There you go. Yes, thank you. That was much better. Okay, here we go. So the answer to my question, I'm thinking is no, you didn't do that, but you're looking at the privileged environment, how to have it more in your life and not have people know that that's what you're doing?
I've been practicing the privileged environment on my own for a number of years.
Uh-huh.
In the beginning, it was just because I was told to.
You were told to?
Yeah, that was the guidance I got from the monastery. But I've been seeing some things about it recently. Sometimes I hide in the privileged environment.
You know, Beth, I got to stop you right here.
Okay.
Because that kind of statement that you got guidance from the monastery to practice a privileged environment gives me pause.
Okay.
So I can see, in a practice situation that we're always encouraged to practice the privileged environment, to keep custody of the eyes and be in silence when it's a silent time and speak in certain ways when it's not. But to be given guidance to practice the privileged environment in the rest of your life?
This was when I left the monastery. When I left, I met with the head monk.
And you were
coming back to Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh. And so you were encouraged, I can only guess.
Yes.
That you could practice the privileged environment in your life.
Yes.
Okay. That I can go along with, but being told that that's what you need to do. That just doesn't sound like our practice. So there's some kind of a misunderstanding somewhere. And
well, I'm a six.
So. You what?
But I'm a six.
Okay.
But anyway, okay. I understand what you're saying. It's not a matter of anybody telling me anything. It's a matter of something being suggested, and I choose to take it or not.
Exactly.
But in the beginning, I didn't have any understanding.
Any other?
Any understanding.
Uh-huh.
Of why or, you know, what's good about it.
Uh-huh.
And I only did it out of loyalty.
And can you tell me what exactly you were doing?
In the beginning it was with the Pittsburgh Sangha. And then it's kind of like not looking for other people to fulfill my needs, because what I need is inside of me.
Uh-huh.
So if I'm looking for somebody else, it's just not true. And
uh-huh.
I have, so that's, you know, one part of it. The part that I've seen recently is my conditioning has a way of any time I interact socially or encounter another person, the first thing I do is take their temperature. Are they happy? Are they mad? Are they sad? Are they going to leave me? So when I'm practicing a privileged environment, I'm actively not taking anybody's temperature but my own. Or
uh-huh.
an understanding projection.
Uh-huh. You knew that's where I was going next, right?
I am an expert projectionist.
Uh-huh. Okay. So part
it's
of the privilege
in the privileged environment.
And so the part that you're focusing on now is not kind of intruding on people via your projections.
Yes. Whatever's going on with them has nothing to do with me.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea what's going on with them. All I have is my projection.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And are you finding that helpful?
It really kind of like opened up a whole new world this week.
Uh-huh. And can you say a little about that?
It's exhausting taking people's temperatures all the time. And it's kind of like, if their temperature's a little raised, I have to do things to lower it. If I'm projecting that they're, you know, a little down, I have to do something to bring them up. And
uh-huh.
it's all because I want to be safe. All of this has been unconscious.
Uh-huh. All of this is done in unconsciousness on your part?
Yes. I've been doing
uh-huh.
this my whole life, but I wasn't aware of it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Making up and maintaining an artificial reality is exhausting.
And that just the idea that I can do anything to raise or lower their temperature, you know.
Or that you should, or that you're right, or that they need it, or that it's better, or the list goes on and on, doesn't it?
Right. And that's not my concern. My only concern is, am I safe? I don't really care how that other person's doing. I just want to know that I'm safe.
So this process has nothing to do with who or how anybody is. Doing the process itself creates an illusion of safety for you.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
An illusion of control.
Yes. Yeah. If you were checking doorknobs, we would call it OCD.
And have a nice little label.
Yeah. Do you see what I mean, though?
Yes.
yeah, doing compulsive behaviors to produce an imagined outcome be the same process.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Can you say that again?
Yeah, so engaging in compulsive behaviors to perpetuate a belief that they control certain outcomes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Which, you know, in the broadest sense, is a pretty good definition of karma.
Okay. Can you say more?
Yeah. For instance, living in a world, an imaginary world that only I see, which, of course, I don't realize, which is another good definition of karma. And then I do all of these things within that imaginary world, and that makes me have a certain experience that then I believe has something to do with something larger than the made-up world that I'm operating in.
Mm. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And by engaging privately in the privileged environment, I'm sidestepping.
You could be, if depending on what your definition of the privileged environment is, which is something I'm wildly curious about. Because, again, if what I just described as a world of karma, right? So I come in and all of this stuff I make up and I project, and everybody is who I project they are, and they're doing what I believe they're doing, and the stories that I tell are explaining why they are the way they are and what they're doing and who I am and all of that, okay? Now, somebody drops in something like the privileged environment into that stew, and that stew is going to create the privileged environment in the same way that it creates everything else in that imaginary reality. So in the same way that the system would tell me, I know what Joe is doing and how he feels and what he needs, it would tell me what the privileged environment is and how I should do it and how other people should be. And so it's constantly interpreting the world that we live in through its filters to reinforce it.
Yes. And when I hide in the privileged environment, that's kind of what I'm doing.
Well, when you accept conditioning's definition of the privileged environment, that's what you're doing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I see that.
Yeah. And then the hiding would just be, you know, it's also the food that you eat and the car that you do or do not drive and the clothes that you wear and the how you do your hair and how you greet people, and it's all serving the same purpose.
To keep reality real.
Yes, to keep that conditioned, karmically conditioned reality in place.
Which is not my goal, in my being.
You're right. If those of us doing practice are at least hopeful of having a different ambition, yes. Yeah, so that's why in practice, you know, some of the most helpful questions that we can ask are, really? How do you know that? What if that's not true? Who said so? Where's the proof of that? And those are questions, of course, that karmic conditioning is never going to ask unless something has dropped in to our awareness that is going to be in conflict with karmic conditioning's reality. the only time you'll
almost
hear those
heard
questions.
That.
Pardon me?
I almost heard that.
Uh-huh.
I almost
yeah.
heard that. It's
yeah.
Like,
so so if I said, you know, it's really important that you question every thought that goes through your mind, karmic conditioning's response is going to be, why? How's that going to be helpful?
Hmm. I've kind of, yeah, and kind of why is a question that's kind of dropped out of my world.
That's a, it's a good thing to drop out.
How?
Unless you're using it to question karmic conditioning.
Ah. And the answer is easy. So what I hear you saying is that I have a definition of what the privileged environment is that is coming from conditioning.
Well, I'm saying it's possible because, of course, we haven't had any conversation about what you mean by the privileged environment. So it's one of those places where I say privileged environment and you say privileged environment, and if we're not paying attention, we could be fooled into believing that we're talking about the same thing.
Part of it is intention. Part of it is maintaining custody of the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And a large part of it is kind of keeping my focus inward instead of outward.
Uh-huh.
Particularly as I'm going out and interacting with, quote-unquote, other people.
Mm-hmm. And so what you're working on now is being able to do that without becoming someone who is so strange that you make people nervous. Right?
Yes, it's private. It's not something that I force on anybody else. It's like in maintaining custody of the eyes, it's always, my eyes aren't always downcast. When I'm driving, it kind of goes along with spending a life in silence. You know, I don't listen to the radio, I don't have music on when I'm kind of driving. And that's kind of like, it just kind of like the focus is here.
Uh-huh. And the focus is here on what?
I still look to emotion a lot. I still check in with how am I feeling.
Yeah. Which is, you know, sometimes it could be more helpful to listen to music. And the reason, I mean, I say that kind of joking, a little tongue-in-cheek, but to be focused all the time on emotion, on how I'm feeling, is no different from taking other people's temperature. Right? You're just
right.
taking
yep.
your own.
I'm a little bit down, so I need to have a little sugar. I'm a little bit high. I need to relax a bit.
Yeah. And so the thing that I would add, here's your homework assignment for the next time, is who's in charge? Who's guiding you in this custody of the eyes?
That's a tough one.
Yeah. Who is in charge of? Who has defined the privileged environment for you?
I have a feeling it changes.
Yeah. Well, it'll be important to watch. Because as long as you're getting information about how you should be, I want you to be really suspicious and pay really close attention.
Yes.
Yeah. Compassionate information about how you are is one thing. Information about how you should be
is quite another.
It's something that it's a beautiful thing. And I, you know, it's just gratitude is the only option.
Gratitude is what?
Is the only option.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I would agree. It trumps all ideas about how we should be.
Yeah, I get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, we could almost say should is what we do to make sure that we're not living in gratitude.
There's a lot of things I do to make sure I'm not living in gratitude.
Okay. Well, keep track of those and let me know, okay?
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. My apologies for the sound challenges, Sherry.
Well, I know it's not your fault. I just don't know quite what it is, but I'll be grateful if next week it's different.
I'm going to do some research, see what I can
okay. All right. And I never did hear from other people if they were having trouble. So, again, you know, maybe I don't actually have any choice because, you know, when it rains, our phone service goes out. So I'm on a cell phone and, you know, that's the only thing I've got going here. So it definitely could be me. So we'll just see. Hopefully yeah. It'll sound okay when it's in the archives, and if people are interested, they can have another go at this. What? What? What'd you? I'm sorry. What? Pardon me. I didn't understand that. He's very entertaining. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry. Good night.
Good night.